Casey Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenan McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hale, author, natural health expert, producer.
Boat repairman.
Boat repairman today. Okay. You know, every week he's added something
to
his list.
Trying to spread my wings.
Yeah.
Expand my horizons.
Exactly. We also have Hottie Patati Will Schmidt coming to us from the Bay Area via Skype. What's
you ever, up? You ever repaired a boat, Will?
I crashed one.
That brings me business then. Good job.
Yeah.
There you go. So today is part two of
Dose.
Metabolic typing.
Audible.com.
Audible.com.
I did that too early.
Yeah, I didn't do any commercials last week. Today, Audible.com is our sponsor. If you go to kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook for details, you'll get a free audiobook from Audible.com.
Audible.com. If you didn't hear last week's show, I want you to hear last week's show because we said some things about metabolic typing. I don't want to say them all again.
Yeah, it was a lot of stuff. I pretty much slept, but they spoke a lot.
Will, do you want to just repeat everything from last week or do you want to skip all that?
Or also, people could also go to Kick It in the Nuts on Facebook if they haven't liked the page.
Oh, okay.
You know? And then that's where we post all of our questions about future show topics. You guys can ask some questions, blah, blah, blah. We'll try to answer them. You can come up with your own show topic.
We'll try to post
jazz.
A video about a cat. People seem to like those videos with cats in them.
Metabolic typing in cats.
Yeah, all right. So what we covered last week was that we kind of hold the viewpoint that there are some very valuable aspects of certain areas of metabolic typing and other areas can cause someone to create problems for themselves. So we kind of talked a lot about where we might use it when we're looking at a client and benefits that we can draw from that, but a lot of errors that it seems like a lot of people doing metabolic typing could create as well.
So Yeah.
So today we're going to cover a couple questions, but we also, one of the questions is about the people, a lot of the people who kind of brought this science to be, and we want to talk about what we learned from some of them and some of the things that we kind of don't really use anymore and some of the ones that are not necessarily part of metabolic typing that we do find useful.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Let's do questions.
All right. Let's do questions. Luann from Little Rock, Arkansas. If I test it as a fast oxidizer, but the fast oxidizer foods make me feel worse, what should I do? Don't eat them.
Don't eat those foods. You did good, Kenna.
There you go.
All right, this is Ask Kenna.
That's right.
So that was kind of an example that we used last week, actually, Luann, but I guess you asked this question before we recorded last week, so you're not in trouble. But, you know, a lot of the fast oxidizer foods that are recommended by a metabolic typing practitioner would be foods with higher purine levels, like steak, salmon, sardines, anchovies, and a lot of those proteins are harder to digest. So you could be a fast oxidizer, but have digestive issues that are restricting your ability to break down proteins properly. So if you then go and eat proteins that are harder to digest, you just made yourself worse, a la peanut butter sandwiches.
Yeah, we talked pretty in depth last week about why that happens, but it's important to restate, I think, that just because you do a test or a questionnaire that shows that you're presently classifying yourself as a fast oxidizer or a slow oxidizer or whatever, it doesn't mean you're stuck that way or that you're like genetically determined to be that way necessarily. It just means that's what your body's doing right now. And because of that, I like the term metabolic tendency more than metabolic type. And there are things that your body is doing all the time to be as healthy and fit as possible. And sometimes that involves compromises or compensation mechanisms. So when you're, say, like not good at breaking down proteins or fats well for fuel, your body will then like adapt and start to use carbohydrates more as like that's what you need for energy. So that could end up creating these markers that show you to be like a carb burner or a fast oxidizer. And that may be the case for a long time, but if you fix your digestion and open up the possibility of getting energy from foods like proteins or fats or high purine proteins, then your metabolic type or tendency can shift and you can become more of a balanced or mixed oxidizer.
Right. So if someone tested you and said that you were a fast oxidizer, that's not who you are. That's just something that is going on in your body and at that time. And there's likely a reason that it's happening. And we like to try to figure out what the reason would be and fix that reason to kind of straighten that out. So that's a pretty big deal. So let's hit our last question, because this will probably take the rest of the show to talk about all these guys.
But first, if you'd like to learn how to become a health coach or even just dig into more advanced teachings for yourself or your family, go to healthprocourse.com to learn about Tony and Will's course for coaches. Registration for this course only opens to the public for about a week at a time, so be sure to register for the coach newsletter so you'll be notified when the next registration opens. You'll find more info at healthprocourse.com. All right, Andrea from Italy.
You know what?
Ooh,
I think it's Andrea, I think. Because it's a guy. I know it's a guy.
Oh.
And people from Italy just tend to say things more fancy.
Okay.
So that's probably
Andrea.
Yeah, good job.
Italy.
I may be wrong, but that's...
Which are the main difference? Right? Okay, I'm not even going to try.
That's going to be awesome.
I like the pizza. Okay, which are the main differences among Kelly, Crystal, Walcott, Reams, Ravici? What are each of their system's shortcomings, and how can we best go beyond them?
Well, Reams had dark hair, and that's not helpful. So these are a lot of guys.
Women, I see.
Oh,
it's a
man,
sexist world.
Sexist show. Metabolic typing is so sexist. So he's talking about Kelly as William Donald Kelly, and he wrote a lot of books on cancer. He did a lot of stuff with pancreatic cancer in this realm. I didn't dig into a whole bunch of his stuff. Did you, Will?
No.
Yeah, I didn't either. But Carrie Reams, we use a lot of his stuff in what we do, and we teach some of his stuff. Bill Wolcott, he's the guy who wrote that metabolic typing diet, and he kind of adapted some of the stuff from some of the other earlier guys, and then he came across George Watson's work and adapted some of that into what he was doing. So we're really big fans of George Watson, and Andrea didn't even mention George Watson. So that's another one that I would add, Andrea, if you have not looked into George Watson, is that Nutrition in Your Mind book. And it's one that's out of print, but you can usually find used copies on Amazon for pretty cheap. And it's a great explanation of a lot of that stuff.
Is this William Kelly the same one who wrote the book, The Doctor Cures Cancer, about Ravici?
No, that was a different one.
Okay.
I'm almost 90% sure that it's a different one. Harold Crystal, he wrote that The Nutrition Solution, which I read a long time ago. I don't remember a lot of it, but it was a lot of similar stuff. I believe I remember him, that he and Will Wolcott even worked together at some point doing some stuff. But I'm not sure about that. That just may be a memory that I have. But, you know, and then Ravici we talk about a lot on a lot of our episodes. And he's the one who kind of gave us the insights about what's going on at the cellular level of the body. Do you want to kind of explain that just briefly, Will, just to kind of understand what we even gathered from Ravici and how we use that information?
Yeah.
And this is not something that most metabolic typing practitioners use. This is just something that we use above and beyond that, and kind of ended up being one of those things that overshadowed the metabolic typing stuff for us a little bit.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say that we're fully on board with his approach either.
Or any of these guys.
Yeah, not one of them we think holds some holy grail or indisputable truth about it, but definitely had some pretty amazing insights. And Ravici himself was pretty pretty conclusively a genius.
Ninja. He's a ninja.
A ninja. And a problem with it, when you are so smart and intelligent in how you're going about treating people, is there's a ton of nuances that he learned to adopt when dealing with an individual. And when people tried to replicate his methods, they're like, oh, this doesn't work at all. And that's not necessarily because he didn't know what he was doing. It's maybe more so because the people running the studies trying to apply his protocols didn't understand the nuances of it. It's kind of like, it's similar to the type of exercise therapy that I love and use and was trained in and that saved me, called the Egoscue method. If you go to a therapist who's not that good at it, it's not really probably going to work for you. But if you go to someone who's really great at it, it can be life-changing and totally rehabilitate you. So the same kind of thing I believe or suspect was probably true of Emmanuel Ricci's medical practice in his own lifetime. But the main kind of thing that we walk away with from his work is this understanding of the anabolic and catabolic states of the body, which have, if you do like a Wikipedia search for the definition of catabolic or anabolic, it's much different than what Emmanuel Ricci meant in the fullness of what he was saying. He actually didn't even use those words. He used like dysrobia or anaerobia, where people were having imbalances in the way that their cells were basically utilizing oxygen. Either the cells were too permeable or not permeable enough, and their oxidation rates were off. And with that, their electrolyte distribution would be off. And so it ends up being a really kind of complicated thing if you start to read his actual book that he wrote, where there's all these different markers, which you probably won't understand if you haven't.
Don't do that. Read that book.
We won't go into
it. Every seven words, you have to pull out a dictionary. Yeah.
I loved it, thought it was amazing, but I don't recommend it for the layperson.
Right. So the big point of what he helped us understand was that the human body at the cellular level during the day is meant to be in one state that operates in a certain way. And then at night, it's meant to be in another way, where the body starts to kind of move into a state where it can repair and rebuild. And both of these states are appropriate. There's nothing wrong with either state. We want both to happen, but we find that some people can get stuck leaning too far in one state for a wide variety of reasons, or too far in another state, and that can cause a lot of problems.
Yeah. If you are curious and want to dive into his book, it's a long title called Research in Pathophysiology as a Basis of Guided Chemotherapy with Special Application to Cancer. So just from the title alone, you know it's
a... Right, but a better book to read is the one, The Doctor That Cures Cancer, who that other Kelly guy wrote him and kind of explains a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Which can be great. So that's kind of what we pulled from Ravisi, and it's a lot different from the metabolic typing. But again, it's trying to look at some individuality and what's going on with physiology, and using that information to adjust either food or nutritional supplementation in an effort to improve health situations.
Yeah, to tie it into like the practical things that we actually do use, and you mentioned in the books, and we talk about in the digestive issues course and the health coach course and the fat loss course, is the different markers you can look at to see, are you leaning towards this catabolic imbalance or more towards an anabolic imbalance? And then there's different sort of things, different like kinds of fats or vitamins or minerals that you might want to emphasize or avoid. Even there can be different kinds of activities that you might do. For example, if you are in a severely catabolic imbalance, you might not want to work out super hard until you fix that, because your body's already in a tissue breakdown state. And some of those markers that we'll use to kind of distinguish where your body's leaning in that are things like using the urine dipstick test that we talk about.
And this is a little strip that you can get on Amazon. It's like an 11-parameter strip. There's a variety of companies that make them.
Yeah, it's an 11-parameter urinalysis tester.
You can get it from... You just pee on it.
Yeah, you just pee on it, and you're done.
Who doesn't want to pee on something?
See your way
that's
to help.
That's just wrong.
Oh.
So, yeah, we talk
that's
about...
That's just a guy thing?
Yeah. We talk about how to do that in the books and the courses.
Right, yeah. Okay, so this is something that is really easy for a person to do, though. You can just buy these cancer strips, you pee in a cup, you dip it in there, and you get all of these insights into how your body is functioning, and you did it yourself. Good job.
Yeah, that one test actually is probably the most relevant for the at-home user, because there's three markers on there that are really cool to help distinguish, that you can see. You can see If you have protein or not in your urine, you can see your urine specific gravity, and you can see your pH all in one little strip. So that's awesome.
That's bargain shopping.
Yeah, bargain shopping. So what we'll tend to see is these are not solid for sure indications, but they're good clues. So if you have protein in your urine, that's a really strong indicator that you're most likely in a catabolic imbalance. If you don't have protein in your urine, it doesn't necessarily mean you're anabolic. But if it is there, that's a really strong indication of a catabolic imbalance. Another marker is if your pH is high, like if it shows that it's above 6.3 or at 6.3, that's one indication of being more anabolic. If it's lower than 6, that's more of a catabolic pH. If your saliva pH, however, is low, like if it's below around 6.6, we say that's an anabolic marker.
Right, so these are just all markers. These are not, nothing's an indication. And one thing to understand when we're looking at this stuff, and we have whole episodes on just the anabolic and catabolic states. If you want to go to kickitnaturally.com and just search those words in the search bar, you'll find the episodes where we go into that. But the big thing to understand is that some of these things that we look at, or a lot of people look at with metabolic typing, like the oxidation rate and such, if someone has a severe anabolic or catabolic imbalance, that can sometimes need to be corrected, or whatever's causing that, and doing so can sometimes correct problems further down the line, like an autonomic nervous system imbalance type thing. So we find that with the metabolic typing stuff, sometimes it's more important to look at some bigger things, especially when it comes to electrolytes. And I know we pulled a lot of that from like T.C. McDaniel, I think was one of the people. But do you want to talk about how electrolytes can kind of be the most important thing to look at with a lot of people?
Yeah. So at the top of our list of different imbalances that you teach people to assess themselves for is the electrolyte levels, whether you're leaning towards an electrolyte deficiency or an electrolyte excess. And the markers we usually point out that people can reference are their blood pressure and also their urine-specific gravity, blood pressure being maybe the more important one. If it's over 130 as a systolic and 87 as the diastolic, we say that's leaning towards an electrolyte excess imbalance. If it's under 112 over 73, then we say that's leaning towards an electrolyte deficiency imbalance. And the amount of electrolytes that your bloodstream has in it matters a lot, because it is the way that different nerve impulses will be transferred, and it also has a really strong connection to the stability of your blood sugar and your hydration levels. And when any of those things are off, your brain can't function right, you don't feel good, you feel anxious or confused or depressed, or you can't sleep, or your muscles don't work effectively, or your internal organs get all jacked up. So it's really important to have that parameter be in balance, where you have a blood pressure that's closer to around 120 over 80. And when we see the urine specific gravity using that urine dipstick test, we like to see it generally around 15. It'll be maybe a little higher or lower at different times of the day, but if it's generally close to 15, that's pretty great. If it's way higher than that, that's usually a sign of a few different imbalances, whether it's an electrolyte excess, catabolic imbalance, or a slow oxidizer imbalance. They all have higher urine-specific gravities. Or if it's way lower, you might be overhydrating or deplete of electrolytes for other reasons. So if you have like a urine-specific gravity around like 0 or 5, which I see a lot of the time, that's a marker that you might be deplete of electrolytes.
So another marker that we could sometimes look at that can give us a hint of what's going on here is conductivity. And Andrea asked us about Kerry Reams and where his thinking fits in with all this metabolic typing stuff. Mm. And we do use some of his stuff. And Kerry, he looked at the parameters, some of the ones that he used that we look at are pH of urine and saliva, along with conductivity. And he was looking at cell debris too, and especially ureas, like the nitrate, nitrogen and ammonium nitrogen. Do you want to talk a little bit about what those can add to the picture beyond what just looking at metabolic typing could do?
Yeah, they totally help. So when we talked about ammonia levels, they can be kind of higher in the slower oxidizers and sort of indication of possibly in a catabolic state, or problems utilizing sugar for energy. So I'll see a lot of diabetics with very, very high ammonia levels. And beyond that, though, when we look at things like nitrogen in the urine, we can see some really important information about, is your body effectively assimilating protein or not? So sometimes people are eating plenty of protein, but they have all these weird imbalances and digestive problems and their thyroid's underactive and all this stuff, and they don't know why. And then you look at their urine, you see that they don't have any nitrate in their urine. And that's a big problem. Nitrate is, all organisms need that. Like plants get it from bacteria that help fix it in the, from the air and make nitrate available to them. And we get it by eating organisms, plants and animals that have nitrogen in it. So when we effectively break down those proteins, we get nitrogen, which we totally need for our own protein constructions and other uses. But we can see in the test that Reams did, like, is your body assimilating that nitrogen in an effective way? Like, sufficiently, is it getting enough of it? And is it also eliminating the waste product of metabolic processes by having the ammonia levels be a little bit lower than the nitrate levels? So we teach how to do those tests in the health coach course. And Kerry Reams also taught how to do that in his own courses of Reams testing.
We have a health coach course.
We did that.
I think that was last week. Or did we do?
No,
we did.
No, we didn't do anything last hour. I did it this week.
Oh, cool. You already talked about the health coach course. Yeah. So that's something that we dig into a lot of this more advanced stuff in. So that'd be great. I slept at that part.
I guess so. Maybe you that need part. A little salt well, that part or would be something. Awesome.
Yeah, salt it up one time.
Mineral deplete over there.
Yeah. So, you know, when you're looking at some of this stuff, you can see that it's always about more than just one thing. It's always about more than just being a fast oxidizer or a slow oxidizer, or just being autonomically dominated. Those pieces of information are amazing pieces of information, and for some people, they're absolutely crucial. But we do see in a lot of situations that we're pulling the knowledge that we learn from some of these other people, and it can be a little more effective. And it seems to be better to pull what was effective for each of these people together and find what's going to be used from person to person.
Yeah. And the way that I like to do it is, again, it's kind of similar in posture therapy. We learn to look at what stands out most as, like, what was the biggest imbalance. Like, if someone's head is super far forward, or if their hip is crazy high and rotated, like, oh, maybe we should work on that piece, you know?
Right.
And it's kind of like when we do this body chemistry testing and we see certain things like, oh, you take 50 breaths a minute, or your blood pressure is under 80. Like, right. This is bad, you know? Then you can really see, like, this is probably the area of focus for a while, you know?
Right. Now, if somebody is sitting there talking to you and they're like, yes, I've had a bowel movement 3 times since I've been sitting here with you.
Right.
Then that's the biggest problem. So when all these things we're looking at, you also have to understand that digestion becomes the biggest priority when there's a severe problem there, because if a person can't digest things correctly, it doesn't matter the food that you're going to change. Now, it's true that some of these foods that a metabolic typing practitioner would use for slow oxidizers are easier to digest, like chicken breast, you know, white fish. Those things are easier to break down than some of these other foods. So that could be beneficial to a person with digestive issues. But if you can just address the digestive issues, then you can help them digest all the foods.
Yeah.
All right. We got any more?
What else do you got, Kenna?
I can bring up this health pro course more time.
I think we talked about that already. Yeah.
One other thing I point out is if you go to my website, mybodyofknowledge.net, and type in the little search box recommended reading, then you'll get clued into like all these thinkers that we just mentioned, as well as some others, like my favorite biochemists and nutritionists. It'll have a little brief description of who they are, as well as my favorite books by them and a little bit about what they write about. So
Right. So, and like Will talked about either this week or last week, like everybody don't read these books and think that everything that we agree with, we just don't. But you can kind of pull pieces that make sense with what somebody else is saying. And, oh, wow, that really makes sense with this. And you give and take. But understand that just because somebody's right about something doesn't mean they're right about everything. We have like 7 things we're wrong about all just today.
Right.
Right. We usually shoot for about 7.
Yeah. So, you know, just don't even listen.
Right. If you don't listen, that really helps. You have a better shot of...
That's why I don't read. And
right.
Don't
if you just don't listen to anybody, and you, at least you know you're not going to get it wrong.
Exactly.
But sometimes that's... Sometimes doing too much can be the problem. So,
Or like me, I'll diagnose myself and I'll have everything.
Right.
You know, because this one time I had this 12 years ago. So that person now.
Right. Exactly. So look at the things that are important that are off with your chemistry the most. And we teach how to do self-test on yourself in our almost free 4-week digestion course at kickitnaturally.com that kind of give you the basics of what's going on with my physiology. Are any of these numbers way off? Like, mm-hmm. am I totally whacked in this? And if I am, that might be a pretty good place to start.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, now y'all have given every single website out. I have nothing to do.
Do you want to sing a song? Maybe in a different language? Do you want to try Italian again?
Maybe.
All right. Okay, so I think we nailed it. So between this and last week, we talked a lot about metabolic typing. So the summary is... Some of it might be crap. Some of it might be useful. We use some of it in specific situations that are unbelievably helpful. And then some of them just might kind of be in the background of the things that we're really trying to help someone improve, whether that be digestion, electrolytes, or stuff like that. So just be careful of what you're viewing as your most important piece of information and make sure that it's something that the closer to an underlying cause that you can get, the better off you are. And remember that digestion is often at the root of that.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Cool.
All right. So if you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the almost free 4-week digestion course at kickitnaturally.com or head on over to Will Schmidt's mybodyofknowledge.net. Like he said, he has all the recommended books that you should get, pain relief videos, articles, blogs, all kinds of great stuff. So check it out.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
See you all next week. Bye.